This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill is now headed to the U.S. House for a final vote after the Senate unanimously passed its version of the bill late last night. President Trump says it promises some financial relief for working Americans as well as for businesses to keep Americans working.
The Senate bill, as you know, includes $350 billion in job retention loans for small businesses with loan forgiveness available for businesses that continue paying their workers. They continue paying their workers. That's what we want.
Meanwhile, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the U.S. may already be in a recession, telling NBC's Today show this morning that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the U.S. economy, saying we just may be in the recession because of the coronavirus pandemic. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I tell you, I don't want to really be without it because I haven't really been sick in 2 years. I used to get something, bronchitis, laryngitis, cold, something, at least one. I haven't had any, so that kind of says a lot. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss. Election, trade war, what in the world is the world coming to, and how will it affect your retirement? Fisher Investments has helped thousands of investors navigate all kinds of news and market conditions. Is your portfolio prepared? If you have $500,000 or more, call for Fisher's insightful free guide, The Stock Market Outlook, and learn how the market might impact your retirement this year. Call 1-800-379-4442. 1-800-379-4442.
New York City, now the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the United States, but the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, says there is some encouraging news, as we hear from USA Radio's Tim Berg.
New York Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo says stats show social distancing policies may be working in the slow of the spread of the coronavirus in the state.
They are effective and they're necessary, and the evidence suggests at this point that they have slowed the hospitalizations. And this is everything.
New York has 30,000 confirmed cases throughout the state. 18,000 of those are in New York City. Cuomo also says the state is in need of a lot of ventilators.
30,000 ventilators is an extraordinarily difficult task. And it's something that our team is working on with the White House team.
Looking for something to do online? Well, you can find us there at usaradio.com.
You know, I've told you I get the best sleep of my life with my MyPillow, but I'm not the only one. Mark in Las Vegas told me the other day, we were talking on other business, he says he went to MyPillow.com, clicked on the radio listener special, and used the promo code USA. He got a great deal on a MyPillow, and he is enjoying his sleep now. You can too. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, and I promise you, you'll get the best sleep of your life, or you get your money back.
Still more on the coronavirus story, as all temples of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are now closed around the world as the coronavirus pandemic spreads. The first presidency of the church announcing the closure late yesterday, a move called temporary, although no tentative date to reopen has been included in the announcement. Two more states are telling their residents to stay home. Idaho and Colorado have joined nearly two dozen other states issuing lockdown orders during the pandemic. Six states and Washington, D.C. had already closed all non-essential businesses, and several other states like Texas and Florida have cities and counties that have issued stay-at-home orders. A doctor's group says pink eye could be an early warning sign of the virus. The American Academy of Ophthalmology issuing the alert yesterday, stating that the pathogen can cause red, itchy, and teary eyes. People with allergies get the same symptoms, so they say you also have to watch for a fever and respiratory symptoms to know whether it's an allergy or possibly coronavirus. And with many Americans turning to fast food to stay fed during this pandemic, McDonald's announced it's pulling its all-day breakfast items off the menu to streamline operations. McDonald's saying it's going to focus on serving only its most popular items. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Do you remember where you were on February 23rd, 1945? A bunch of Marines were lifting a flag on Iwo Jima. The battle lasted 36 days, killing 5,931 Marines. Additionally, 209 Navy corpsmen and surgeons assigned to the Marines died, as well as soldiers, sailors, and airmen from other units. More than 110,000 Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen served, with more than 26,000 killed or wounded. So here's your veterans' tip of the day. As you walk by an American flag, stop for a moment and think of the tens of thousands of soldiers and sailors, airmen and Marines who were killed or wounded in those days in February of 1945. You will be better for thinking of them. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, happy Thursday, America. Let's hope so, huh? Boy, I'll tell you, we're getting close to where we're getting ready to hit that 15th day that the president has rallied all of America to get behind. 15 days to slow down the coronavirus, to do our part in this, I guess what we're looking at is the third world war from a hidden enemy is what it all comes down to. And I don't mean to over-dramatize this, but when you look at the numbers and you see how the world is being impacted by this, and who are we fighting here but this unseen and unknown heretofore virus known as COVID-19? Well, Dr. Wilfred Riley is with us, a political science professor at Kentucky State University and author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Professor, always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good to be back on the show.
Well, as you tweeted out, you're not a denier, but you see the disease as a real threat that may kill tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, I think it's obviously coronavirus is a threat. I mean, you're seeing a few states like New York that have heavily impacted hospital rooms. I also did say in that series of tweets, though, that I think there are some things that are important to know about the disease or discuss about the disease that you don't see every day in mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is that COVID-19 is an extraordinarily age-specific threat. So the risk of death if you get the disease, looking at some of this Chinese data, this Spanish data that's coming out of the WHO, and again, I'm a professional quantitative methodologist, but I'm not a doctor, but the risk of death if you get the disease seems to be about 1 in 500 for healthy people under 50. The average age of a victim of the disease in at least Italy and Germany has been 81. 99% of the people to die from COVID-19 in that same Western bloc had serious pre-existing conditions. So one question here is, obviously we need to protect and care for seniors and our most vulnerable, and we should be doing that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of people are not at significant risk, at least in comparison, of contracting or of dying from COVID-19.
Right.
To some extent, and I have no position on whether this is good or bad, but we are quarantining to protect that vulnerable chunk of the population. And the second point, and I'll shut up and I want to hear your comments, maybe the audience's, but I mean, My biggest point about coronavirus as a quant is that the death rates that we're seeing for the disease are very likely wildly wrong. That doesn't mean that emergency rooms still couldn't be swamped with people that have the disease if it's so infectious that, say, 70% of us get it. But when you see these terrifying death rates like 4%, we're not going to see 70% of the country contract the disease and then 4% of people die, for example, as CNN has implied in the past, to call out a specific channel.
Right.
The death rates that we're seeing come from the pool of people to take the first tests. And as you probably know, Bill, it's very difficult even to get a coronavirus test. I contacted my doctor, reasonably well off for a local guy. I mean, he told me, you know, you are a 36-year-old healthy former athlete. I'm, quote-unquote, not going to waste a test on you. Go for a run and stay 6 feet away from people.
Right.
So the people to test were, you have to be symptomatic. You have to actually be sick to take a test, at least in the state of Kentucky, at least when I called about a week ago. We're prioritizing older people, and at least when I called, you have to have actually been in contact with someone who definitely or almost definitely had coronavirus. So those 2 and 3% figures come from a pool of people, average age around 65, who are symptomatic, who were worried enough to pursue the test, and who actually contacted someone or were in contact with someone who had a strong form of this disease. So the issue with the death rate is that we know all of the deaths. It's hard to ignore a corpse.
Right.
As I understand, we've even tested some individuals who seem to have died of flu for COVID-19. We know the deaths.
Right.
What we don't know is the pool of people with this disease. And a study recently came out of Britain, out of Oxford, which is a highly reputable institution, obviously one of the top five in the world, arguing that 20 to 50% of Brits probably have contacted or contracted coronavirus at some point. So a very large pool of people in the population. Ohio recently issued a report saying they probably have 100,000 undiagnosed coronavirus cases have coronavirus, and the majority of them do not seem to be dying. We're seeing death rates that come out of a very small pool of sick people, and we're trying to extend those to the population. The actual death rate for coronavirus could be a tenth, for example, or a 20th of what
we're
seeing.
Right, exactly.
So again, wear your mask, but I don't think some of the reaction that we're seeing now is necessary. Those would, I think, be my first 2 points.
Well, this is really an interesting, perfect storm. I mean, we've had two strains of flu, according to Dr. Deborah Birx. We've had flu A and flu B, and we already know what those numbers are. And this is the thing that's a bit of a challenge for the everyday American. It says, wait a minute, we've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of or not hundreds of thousands, but we have thousands of people dying from the flu every year. Somewhere between 30 and 50,000 people are dying. Infection rates, in the millions. And, now comes the coronavirus, and, boy, I'll tell you, it's like, the hyperbole has flown. And I've always said on this show that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And when you have a mainstream media that has an alternative agenda that is doing everything they can to bruise up this president, they're not making it easy to get or even, in any kind of form of objectivity to help the American people to say, hey, let's get our brains behind this. Let's not get too overreactive, as you pointed out, over this whole thing, absence of really knowing what the facts, but let's take what we know now and let's make some wise judgment. And I believe that what the task force and what the government has been encouraging us to do with the, 15 days to slow down the coronavirus. Just like you said, social distancing. I haven't heard social distancing since I was at a prom in high school, where you had chaperones, not so close, but I think that the benefit of all this potentially is on the other side of this is that we are learning a lot about hygiene and the importance of it, the significance of it. And I think we're going to be all the better even in fighting off the flu down the road, don't you think?
I do think so. And I mean, I think that the basic social distancing measures that have been endorsed by everyone from the president to his rival Pelosi to Fauci, I think those are pretty non-controversial. And some of them, like washing your hands before you go to the market, I mean, those are things people should have been doing anyway. That stuff, as you mentioned, you learned in high school. Don't
right.
grab female coworkers, give people 3+ feet of space. The recommendation is 6, or 6, what my doctor said.
Right.
But I mean, so all of that, everyone, I think, encourages people to do. Wash your hands, sanitize your hands, give people some space. One that I think is useful is if you're badly sick, don't go out in public.
Yes.
Because of the risk of this new flu, I mean, people are enforcing that now. They won't let you into businesses. But that's how flu traditionally spread. I mean, we've all sat on a train before across from a guy coughing and wheezing. I mean, I can't think of too many, at least white collar jobs, that don't have some sick leave policy. I think that's useful. We can take that into the future.
Exactly. Well, we got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. More from Dr. Wilfred Riley after this. Stay with us. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers. And their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free, no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I have my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Someone
said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are, and great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Professor Wilfred Riley continues with us. The news that 3.28 million weekly jobless claims were filed this past week. Not a big surprise, Professor. We knew the number was going to be huge. But all the more, this needs to put a fire under the butts of our Congress to make sure that the stimulus is passed.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, the you're seeing 96-0 trend on Twitter and Instagram. I mean, so the Senate did get things done. The Democrats and Republicans both took out some silly things in the bill. The stimulus is a good idea. It's a good bill. I think we might see two more weeks of this kind of holdover quarantine. The president said he'd be willing to extend it to Easter, but then no more. So this is a reasonable bill. I don't have a huge issue with the corporate bailouts. I don't have a huge issue with the money given to individuals of 1,200 or so. So good. I mean, they got it done. The issue with the bill, so twofold. One, well, the House now, because Pelosi and her team in the House were the people responsible to a large extent for torpedoing the last bill. Question one is, will the House pass this?
Yes.
A deeper question is kind of what next? I mean, so when you say there were 3.28 million unemployment claims this week, that's the most ever. The preceding record, I believe, was 785,000 during the quote-unquote Great Recession. Unemployment didn't exist during the Great Depression, or this would probably be second or third all-time World War II. Right. But, I mean, this is still, it's a massive figure. So the question is, what are you going to do long term to get these people back to work? And when you talk about, even using my figures, the coronavirus could lead to, say, 50, 80,000 deaths. I mean, that's terrible. We recognize that it's a huge issue. But at some point, you have to ask, what are the economic and the human costs of the government being entirely shut down?
No doubt. No doubt.
What effect does a $10 trillion loss have on suicides, for example, sexual assault with everyone at home, this kind of thing?
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. The implications compound, and it could get nasty real fast. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, and this is why the president, you know, to his credit, which is driving, you know, the skulls of mainstream media, because they're so ideologically focused that they're really not appreciating the breadth and the viewpoint that this president has a gift of being able. Not everybody can see that there's many more ramifications. I mean, he brought up, and with sensitivity, that this could lead to an increased number of suicides. And, you know, you could see the look on some of the mainstream media, like, they hadn't reported about it, they hadn't even thought about it, thinking about the implications of what it was like. And we said weeks ago, imagine what we went through just in a small sort of way under the previous administration, where jobless claims were through the roof. We had such an increasing number of people, you know, going into the welfare rolls and that. It was endless. People were very depressed. But as soon as Donald Trump came in and lifted the boot of the regulatory government off the throats of productive people, it went crazy. I mean, we've got 160 million people out there working 2 weeks ago, and now all of a sudden they're forced at home, they're quarantined. This is crazy making. I mean, this will definitely have a psychological impact. And so what Donald Trump is trying to do is preserve as long as he can the infrastructure of the employment status, so that when people, when the doors are open and America is open for business again, we're going to be able to ramp up very quickly, as opposed to having to start from dead scratch and, you know, trying to get people off the unemployment line and, you know, everything else that's associated with that.
Yeah, and I do think President Trump's done a good job of responding to, I mean, a pretty significant crisis. You do wonder how, I think Barack Obama would have responded aggressively. I mean, coming from kind of that right or center-right perspective, I don't think I would have liked the things he did as well. I mean, there are presidents like Carter that you wouldn't have wanted in power during this at all. But the real issue, there are a lot of issues here. I mean, one of those that is almost taboo, quote unquote, to talk about.
Yes.
Is we have become a bit softer, a bit more sensitive as a society, and that is good and bad. I mean, I've been reading about the Spanish flu because obviously we all have a lot of time on our hands. Mm-hmm. And what we essentially did during the Spanish flu crisis was stop a few significant events like parades and then continue on with life.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption was that a number of people would die, but that would not necessarily be more than the number of people that died in the many great wars of the era, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm not endorsing that approach, but today we have decided that facing a smaller, frankly, death toll, we are not going to quarantine seniors and then let people voluntarily choose to return to work and accept that a number of them might die.
Mm.
And I think that this is being presented in the mainstream media as the moral approach, people saying not one life on Twitter and things like that.
Right.
The question is how feasible that actually is. Mm. I mean, at some point we do need to ask that brutal, aggressive question. I mean, if we quarantine our seniors, the national treasures, and so on, and healthy young fighting men and women desire to return to work, and we tell them honestly, look, there might not be good, high-quality ventilators in some of these hospitals if you get sick in that one in right. X chance, do you choose to return? And people say, yes, I don't really see a constitutional or legal way to stop them. So at some point, we're going to have to make that call. I mean, we're going to have to say, we can't just leave the economy in the lurch for years. It's worth noting the Asian societies, many of which have a similar warrior tradition. I mean, Japan, South Korea, so on, right. are open.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They have accepted, in the South Korean case, a fairly significant death figure, and most businesses are going. Mm-hmm. You can't go to the gym or a dance party, but, I mean, the business sector in Seoul, as I understand, is functioning.
Yes. Now, you bring up an excellent point. And speaking of taboo, of course, that's the professor's latest book, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And there might be an 11th or 12th after all this is said and done, because part of what's tainting this whole perspective and this, you know, this oversensitivity is you've got this, you know, this partisan political bent that anything that comes out has to, you know, bruise Donald Trump in some form or fashion. They cannot, you know, the mainstream media particularly, they're all in and doing everything they can to somehow hurt this president. I don't see it any other way. I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but the way they attack this thing, you know, we're at 97% of the media reporting is coming out negatively. And it's associated with Donald Trump at every turn. And even in spite of that, within a one-week period, his polling, you know, as much as polling can tell you, reversed itself by 10 points from, you know, from bad to good. So even though the media is reporting so negatively about this, Main Street America, the everyday American, is getting, you know, getting the idea that this president is being rather aggressive and careful to protect them. But you bring up a great point here, Professor, is that we are because of our oversensitivity right now, we may be hurting ourselves more than helping ourselves. And I think that was the question that Donald Trump was posing the other day.
Yeah, I mean, these are issues that, I mean, we need to talk about with the utmost sensitivity. I mean, you and I are both in leaderly positions in society to some extent. The president is the leader of the current society. You can't just say, out of hell with it, go compete or something
right,
like that.
Exactly.
When you're analyzing these issues in depth. But I mean, realistically, there are two options to some extent if this goes on beyond, say, Easter. Because I think the president and Pelosi, these individuals behind the scenes, probably the funding is going to go on for a particular period of time to corporations and so on. So I think everyone agrees, okay, give it a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But when that time frame ends in, say, a week and 6 days or whatever that point might be, the two options are essentially we're going to continue with this unsubsidized for a very long period of time. And that's going to cost a general estimate of half of the U.S. economy collapsing would be $10 to $12 trillion. That's going to cost
right.
$10 trillion. And it's going to have the resulting impact in terms of suicides, rapes, so on. Or option two, we're going to return to work and perhaps 80,000 people will suffer fatal effects from this disease. And I think the majority of Americans, given those options, would pick number two.
Exactly. I think you're right.
Monetary risk.
We got to leave it there. Dr. Wilfred Riley has been our guest author of the book Taboo, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Professor, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill is now headed to the U.S. House for a final vote after the Senate unanimously passed its version of the bill late last night. President Trump says it promises some financial relief for working Americans as well as for businesses to keep Americans working.
The Senate bill, as you know, includes $350 billion in job retention loans for small businesses, with loan forgiveness available for businesses that continue paying their workers. They continue paying their workers. That's what we want.
Meanwhile, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the U.S. may already be in a recession, telling NBC's Today show this morning that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the U.S. economy, saying we just may be in the recession because of the coronavirus pandemic. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee at eAuto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your moment.
We're back with the America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And oh, what a story I've got for you. The title of this new book is called Blaze of Light, the inspiring true story of a Green Beret medic, Gary Bykirk, a Medal of Honor recipient on top of that. And Marcus Brotherton is the author of the book. But here with us is the Medal of Honor winner himself, Gary Bykirk, joins us now. Gary, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Bill.
Well, Gary, first of all, I'll tell you, I think you're about the third Medal of Honor recipient I've been honored to interview. And, you know, first of all, to say thank you for your service and all that you've done on behalf of the country and the freedoms we enjoy, it just seems like there's so much more that can be said, and hopefully you hear the hearts of a grateful nation and a grateful radio host for your service. And to read of your story, my father was a medic in the Army and was in the European theater with General Patton during the Battle of the Bulge. And we didn't hear a lot of his story, so I'm sure for you, as it is and was for him,
He was very reticent to talk much about what happened in combat. Your story has been very well documented, and even more so because of this book, Blaze of Light. So we're honored to have you on the show, grateful for your service to this country, and thankful that you are opening up to tell this story that people need to hear, that otherwise probably in your very nature, you probably you're a little bit more comfortable talking about it now, but when you first got out of Vietnam, you were holed up in a cave for a while.
Yeah, right. To hear thank you never gets old or is never taken for granted. You know, there's a saying that came out of Vietnam, it was pretty popular among us veterans, and that is, to really live, you must almost die.
Yeah.
To those that fight for it, life has a meaning to protect it, we'll never know. And those of us who have fought for life, I think it's imperative for us to be able to find the words to articulate to us what almost dying has taught us and what fighting for our life, what that has taught us. It's a message that I believe we all need to hear.
Right. Well, you're very unique in your situation. I mean, when you consider, even though Vietnam was probably the last time that we saw a conscripted army, and then since then we've been all volunteer, but even then it was still a small minority comparative to the population of men and women that went to Vietnam, much less find themselves in a combat zone
or in a cave,
having received not only the Medal of Honor, but was wounded. So you're a Purple Heart recipient as well. So, I mean, you're less than 1% of American citizens, Gary.
Yes, but I consider it an honor to be included among that 1%.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot to be able to, in a sense, be someone who others may look to as a representative of all those who have served.
Yeah.
And that is the role that I feel like I've kind of morphed into through the years since I left the cave. The reason I finally left the cave was I believe that there was a message that had been placed in my heart, a message not only about life, but a message about the Medal of Honor. I was in the cave when I found out I was going to be awarded the Medal of Honor. After I went to Washington, President Nixon gave me that medal. Now, you have to understand, 2 days before I was in front of President Nixon, I was living in a cave.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, I find myself down to D.C. in front of the president, having this huge honor be placed around my neck. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to accept it. I didn't know how to make it a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I returned to my cave, and I put the Medal of Honor in my duffel bag, and I never took it out again for 7 years.
Wow.
And I wanted to, eventually I asked God to show me what this medal meant. I asked God to show me what it meant to really live now, now that I've almost died and that I've fought for it. Give me a message about Vietnam, about life, about what it meant. Give me a message about what this Medal of Honor means. And I felt that during that year and a half to 2 years that I was there, he gave me a message. And so I left. And little by little, I've been sharing more and more of it. It never really gets easy, Bill,
right.
But the encouragement, the response that I received from others, the support from my wife, who's been with me for 45 years, who was also the other reason I came out of the cave.
What a great love story that is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the audience is going to love hearing that story. But it took you a while to, go through the process. I mean, you were experiencing probably what today is commonly referred to as some form of PTSD.
Yeah, even though they didn't have a name for it back then, I'm sure that it was a result of the trauma. And not only the trauma of the war, Bill, but I say that when it was my homecoming that did more damage to me than any of the wounds I received in Vietnam.
Well, I'll tell you, I hear that so much, Gary, from Vietnam vets. I was a Vietnam era vet. I didn't serve in country. My two older brothers did. So our family, between my father and the Army, my second oldest brother, field radio operator, he was in the heat of it. You know, with the bullets flying, when you're a field radio operator, you know what that means.
Right.
And my oldest brother was career Air Force, and he served in Da Nang. He was a supply officer. And then here I am. I'm in the Marine Corps, so I'm like the third son, and this is like Saving Private Ryan. But fortunately, as things worked out, I say for me, in one sense, because of my broadcasting background, I ended up doing Good Morning Camp Pendleton. So I did radio and TV for the Marine Corps. So we have a history within our family of serving our country. But yes, it was a very trying time for Vietnam vets. And I know people have tried to redeem and remedy what happened. But I don't know. The damage has already been done, Gary. All we can do as soldiers in that era is just forgive and do the best we can. But for you, as you said, coming home, here it is. I mean, you got shot up. You're lucky to be alive. And what kind of welcome home do you get from, you know, these people, you know, receiving you, who are enjoying life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And they didn't go to war, and they didn't have to dodge bullets or be shot at or, you know, still carry lead inside their body.
Right. And actually, the way that I initially tried to deal with all that homecoming reception and what I received was that I went to the cave, and I went to the cave mistakenly believing that if I could just forget about it, I would get better. And while I was in the cave, I learned that forgetting is not getting better. And so many people, you know, Bill, when I tell my story sometimes, after I talk about living in the cave, many people don't even want to hear about Vietnam anymore. They don't want to know about the Medal of Honor. They want to know what's it like in the cave.
Right.
And over the years, I guess I've come to the realization that that might be because not many people can relate to a war or a battle in the jungle. But as far as living in a cave, people can relate to that, because so many of us, when we hurt, when we want to stop hurting, when we want to change the way we feel, we all look for a cave to hide into.
Excellent.
And
yeah,
and we think that maybe if I could just get in this cave, I'll forget about it and I'll feel better. But in that cave, I learned that forgetting wasn't getting better. What was getting better was finding someone to come into that cave who was willing to listen to me, to love me, to support me. And that was God for me. Mm-hmm. And it was also my wife, Lolly, who would not marry me unless I came out of the cave. But she's gone into many, yeah, many emotional caves over 45 years.
Right.
But forgetting is not getting better, even though many of us seek that.
Exactly. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Gary after this. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Is immune support on your mind these days? Quantum Nutrition Labs is here to help. While supplies last, a wide variety of high-quality, immune-focused supplements are 20% off, including vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin D3. Now is a great time to stock up on the items you'll want to keep on hand, ready to use when you need them. Call 888-588-7578 to speak with our highly trained nutritional consultants. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and our conversation with the Medal of Honor recipient and the story that is being told in Blaze of Light, which has so much more meaning when you think about it, this inspiring true story of the Green Beret medic, Gary Bykirk. Gary, when you talk about having that that meeting with Christ, it was interesting because here recently I talked about, in fact, did a Facebook Live segment about Jesus being the light of the world. And we know light as being the great antiseptic. It is an incredible cleansing force. And when you have Jesus Christ himself, you know, confronting you and confronting the darkness of your life, there's no way you can be the same, is
there? Right. Right. And for me, being a Green Beret, I was probably the epitome of self-sufficiency. I thought that I could do everything on my own. The thing that had always helped me achieve things was my level of confidence, my level of skill, my level of courage. But after I was shot and I was in that hospital bed and I was dying, I encountered what I call my hand-to-hand combat with death. I couldn't stop from going unconscious. As much as the Green Berets taught me, it was like the weapons that I had, that the confidence, the strength, it was like death was just going, is that the best you got? And I would go unconscious. And I came to, and that darkness was a very strong, powerful darkness. Now, I'd been unconscious in college plenty of times, but this was different. This was unconsciousness caused by death.
Right.
And one of the times that I awoke, there was a chaplain there, and he said, I'm glad to see you're awake, son. And I said, I'm glad to be awake, sir. And he said, would you like to pray? And I said, I don't know how to pray. I had never had a need for God. I had always achieved things myself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a need for God. I said, I don't know how to pray. I don't even know who to pray to. And he handed me a cross, and he said, that's okay, son. God knows how to listen. And at 23 years old, I made my first prayer. I said, God, if you're real, I need you. And I don't know whether there was a blaze of visible light that came into my life, but something happened when I, as an empty shell, just reached out and said, God, I don't have anything left. I need you. Mm. And there was a peace that came over me, a realization that there was something greater than me that was real. I say that when my courage failed, faith was born. Wow. And that faith sent me on a journey where I wanted to now find out this God that I knew was real. And I finally met him when a friend of mine gave me a book, and he said, here, read this for me, will you? Mm-hmm. And so I started reading it, and by the time I got to the book of John, I had no idea what kind of a book this was. Matter of fact, I went back and I said, what kind of a book is this? It's about the same guy.
Right.
And he said, just keep reading, Gary, just keep reading.
Uh-huh. So were you reading the book of John, or were you reading the whole Bible?
I started with Matthew, got the
Matthew,
Mark,
okay,
got
the
Luke.
Gospels, yes, right, okay, good. Okay.
So then I got to John, and by the time I got to John 14, mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit, the light of God's words, really started working on me, and when John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, and I said, yes, I believe in God, I met him in a hospital bed in Vietnam. He said, believe also in me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that blaze of light really hit. It was 3 o'clock in the morning on July 2nd, 1972.
Wow.
I was reading, and that when I read that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but me, by me, my heart, I felt that same presence that I did in that hospital bed. And I knelt down, and I prayed and asked Christ to come into my life.
Well, Gary, what a ride here. I mean, it all begins on April 1st of all days, 1970, when you find yourself under siege. We've got, what, maybe a dozen special forces, you know?
Right.
You got 400 indigenous Moniard fighters who are known, you know, for their capability as well and their fierceness. And you're able, but for the grace of God, you're able to withstand 10,000 enemy soldiers.
Right, for 30 days with air support. Otherwise, we would have been overrun. But by the grace of God, we survived.
So you go from this experience. You come out of the military. Typically greeted as most Vietnam vets were treated. You find yourself in a cave and you make the best exchange of your life, darkness for light.
Right.
And you've never been the same.
Right. And actually, I'd become a Christian almost probably a few months before I went into the cave. I knew that my relationship with God was better, but I still knew that I had problems with myself. Mm. I could not accept or forgive myself, even though God did, and I couldn't relate with other people. So I went to that cave, and I remember making another prayer in September. I said, God, you gave me my life back in Vietnam. I'm giving you my life totally right now.
Wow.
Whatever you want from me, God, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I made that prayer in September of 73. 2 weeks later, I was notified I was being awarded the Medal of Honor.
Well,
2 weeks after I said, God, whatever you want for my life, I
mean, you're like a hermit with long hair, living in a cave. You're a Green Beret. You're living off the land. You can handle this. This is not a problem. And then all of a sudden, you get noticed that you're going to Washington, D.C. You're going to meet with the President of the United States and be awarded the highest medal in the land, wow, what an experience, the Medal of Honor, for you to receive on that incredible day. Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. And it's
Now where was Lolly at this point? Now, had you already met Lolly, or that's yet to come?
No, that was in September of 73, and I didn't meet Lolly until almost a year later.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you still had to go through the transition. I mean, you are still getting your personality back on track. God is doing a new thing in your heart and in your spirit. And you're thinking, you know, maybe I could be open for a relationship. And there is a young gal who's reaching out to you quite mysteriously. You don't even know what she looks like, but you're intrigued because of these notes that she keeps dropping into your post office box.
Yeah, I always say there are two things I received in that post office box down in Lancaster, New Hampshire, that changed my life. Mm-hmm. One was the note about being awarded the Medal of Honor, and the other was this note from this girl who just said, "Hi, my name's Lolly. I've seen you around town." And then every couple of days, I'd get another letter in the mailbox, and then finally she put her picture in the mailbox, and I said, "Wow, this girl is cute." And people had accused her of, well, she said that was before online dating, you know. And people have accused her of being a stalker, but after I saw her picture, boy, I stalked her. I said, "I've got to go through this whole town of Lancaster till I find her." Mm-hmm. There was Lancaster only had about 2,000 people. It's a small town. There's not even any traffic lights in town. And I finally found her in a laundromat. We talked, mm-hmm. had a date. A couple weeks after our date, I said, "So when are you going to marry me?" And she said, "Okay, but you got to come out of the cave." Mm-hmm. And so we got married on Easter morning, March 30th, 1975.
Oh, perfect.
On top of a mountain, in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we've been married for 45 years.
Well, congratulations. What a life, what a wife, huh?
Oh, yes. She's been a real battle buddy.
Yeah, for you, because, yeah, she got you out of the cave, but then you gotta find a way to assimilate, because, you know, you got a whole package. You got her, and, I mean, you got a ready-made family. She already had a young daughter she was raising as a single mom, right?
Yes, yep. And it was, people have often asked me if I could change anything, would I change it? And I've thought that, you know, if I could change anything, I would change the hurt that I caused my family. More than Vietnam, what I caused my family is I was trying to learn how to love and how to be a father, how to be a husband. I look back on that now, and that still brings me to tears, what I put my family through. But it was only by the grace of God and the love that God put, the love of God and the love of me that Lolly had in her heart, that kept us two together. We've said that the secret to our marriage has been commitment. We committed to each other just as strongly as God committed himself to us, and there was no way that we were ever going to separate. And that marriage has been a witness to me, a visible witness of the commitment that God has made to us, because he said, "I'm bringing you two together. I'm bringing her into my life, into your life, Gary. She's going to be a part of you forever."
Mm. Wow. What a gift, huh?
Oh, she sure has been.
You know, and here it is, not only a testimony to each of you, but to your friends and the community and the rest of your family. And how's the family now, Gary? Are we through the forgiveness phase? You get together. I mean, I've seen family pictures. Everybody wears a hat.
Yeah.
You know, here. So it seems like you've been able to turn the corner as much as we can, understanding that we're still failed human beings. But that's why we're reminded that we need Jesus. If that wasn't the case, then his coming and to die for our sins and to be resurrected was, you know, just folly and unnecessary.
Well, like all families, we have our struggles. But our faith has been passed on to our children and our 14 grandchildren, and the love that Lolly and I share with each other has been a witness to them of the love of God for each of them.
I'm sure it is. Blaze of Light is the title of the book, the inspiring true story of the Green Beret medic, Gary Bykirk, Medal of Honor recipient. Marcus Bretherton is the author of the book, and we're going to link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Gary, thank you again. God bless you. Appreciate it.
God bless you too, Bill.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Maybe not today,